this off.
Oh, right. Let's reconvene and our next item is public forum, item number 12. And I have two public comments cards, one of them from Kira Redman. So 3 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, members of the board. I'm here today to bring your attention to a serious deficiency with the study done by the City of Santa Barbara to assess the feasibility of subsurface intakes, or SSIs, alternatives to the open ocean intake for its desalination plant. City staff presented a status report this morning to their Water Commission and plans to do so on next Tuesday to the City Council. And they highlight the study's finding that none of the 6 subsurface intake technologies they looked at were found feasible. There's a good reason for that, because the study was deliberately designed to all but ensure that outcome. The study defined feasible as capable of producing 10,000 acre feet per year, because that's the maximum capacity they have a coastal development permit to produce. However, this is utterly unhelpful in light of the reality that the city is currently recommissioning the plan to produce 3,125 acre feet per year, less than one-third that amount. Therefore, the study should have examined the ability of the SSIs to produce that volume of water. The study does include a table showing the maximum capacity that each SSI can produce. So had they used the 3125 acre feet per year as the objective, 5 out of the 6 SSIs would likely be feasible, but they didn't go to the next step of assessing that. The use of the 10,000 acre foot per year threshold is unacceptable on many levels. It flies in the face of the recent desal ocean plan amendment, which says that the design capacity above the demonstrated need shall not be used by itself to declare SSIs infeasible. It also does a great disservice to Santa Barbara ratepayers, City Council, and this board, who wisely directed the city to conduct this study when amending the city's MPDS permit last January, because an honest assessment of alternatives to minimize marine life mortality is needed now. I made this concern clear at the first meeting of the technical advisory panel overseeing this study last August, and this concern was reiterated by your staff in a letter to the city dated October 20th, 2015. The city is justifying the 10,000 acre foot threshold because you approved their work plan in your October 2015 letter. However, that letter says the studies must evaluate the technical feasibility of the maximum capacity of potable reuse and subsurface intake options in order to provide information on whether the alternatives could independently or combined potentially replace the screened open ocean intake. This study expressly did not do that, and as such is essentially useless. The city says they might do so later, but there's no guarantee and no excuse not to do so now. Therefore, I'm here to urge you to exercise your authority and direct the city to revise the study to give a more fair and useful feasibility analysis of the various subsurface intake options at realistic capacity levels, 3125 acre feet, 7500 acre feet, and the amount that would be used to produce if the plant is again placed in standby mode, as well as in some combination with the open ocean intake. We also ask that you direct them to make sure that the potable reuse feasibility study examines these various capacities as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your comment. Mr. Schimmick?
Good afternoon, Steve Schimmick, the other project and owner at Just Keeper. I want to bring your attention to the fact that, as many of you know, recently the Dungeness crab fishery was closed due to harmful algal blooms. That impacted hundreds of families and, in fact, was declared an emergency. So literally hundreds of jobs, hundreds of families were impacted along with ocean health. Blooms cause these closures, blooms of harmful algae. And these blooms not only close fisheries, but they poison birds, they poison seals, sea lions, dolphins, cetaceans, they kill sea otters, and they're a threat to human health. 2 conditions are required to have a bloom. 1 is warmer water, and the 2nd is nutrients. Warmer water seems almost a foregone conclusion given climate change, and I want to point out that nutrients fall squarely in your court. Some say that upwelling brings nutrients, and it does. and it does. But the reality is the frequency of these toxic algal blooms has been a 30 to some estimate that there was, and this is research estimates, a 100-fold increase in the severity and frequency of these toxic algal blooms. And the current research points to anthropogenic sources of nutrients. And those possible sources, and that's research again, pointing to anthropogenic sources of nutrients. Those sources and the research points at agriculture, but other sources would include coastal golf courses that are particularly suspect because they actually use a different nutrient that is thought to be especially potent in triggering these harmful algal blooms. And in ocean outfalls. So what can you do as you, you know, think about, just kind of scope out what are the possibilities? There can be stronger regulation of nutrient overuse, both municipally and in the agricultural setting. There can be investigations into the contributions of golf courses. When Dominic Gregorio was at the State Board, he actually wanted to bring coastal golf courses into the NPDES system. He thought that that would be good. Tightening of discharge standards. And then finally, the requirement of publicly owned treatment works to denitrify the water before discharge. You currently have, there is no nitrogen standard in the ocean. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schimmick.
Do we have another speaker?
Nope.
I've got some questions for both of them. But Steve should go first.
Okay.
Are you taking questions?
We can take questions, but, you know, we'll definitely, I think, need to give staff also, if the staff is here, is in a position to answer questions.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Is this something the state board is looking at, Steve? I mean, I don't think power plants, I mean, WWTPs are denitrifying at all.
They don't.
And I actually agree with you. I think there's been evidence for 30 years about this.
Right.
I mean, upmulling has coincided with dinoplasmids.
Right.
And I do think it is because of nutrients.
Right.
Coming from up over the water. So I think there is a correlation here with what's going on, but how to get to this, I think it's through the state board.
Well, actually, I disagree. The reason is that I think that these permits come through you guys.
Right.
And
right.
So in other words, there's that there's an umbrella approach where the state would create a requirement in the ocean plan to be united by the water, set a standard or something like that. The other situation could be where, especially in this region, where the research is coming out of this region and pointing at this region for the source of some of these blooms, you could say, hey, look, it's our region that's triggering some of these problems. And so we have, you know, justification to, you know, when these permits come in front of us, to ratchet up the standard. I think that you have discretion to do that.
So, if I could ask staff, don't we have a 1 milligram per liter, 1 part per million nitrogen environmental target for protection of wildlife or aquatic habitat?
This is Harvey Mayer. So we're talking about, there's a couple of things we're looking at potentially. Inland surface waters have the basin plan has nutrient objectives. Ocean plan has nutrient objectives, but not a numeric objective for nitrogen, which is what Steve pointed out. I know Dr. Hunter's had this issue before. So we can't say to Monterey Regional, you have to get your nitrogen down to this number because it's in the ocean. The ocean plan does have a narrative water quality objective for nutrients. So if the board wanted to put some sort of limit on the amount of nitrogen being discharged to the ocean through the Monterey Regional plant, they'd have to make the finding that the nitrogen being discharged is causing or contributing to pollution in the ocean, and therefore we can move them on. So it's doable, but it would take some science.
And that seems like a difficult road to go down to try to prove that a particular plant might be causing.
I'm not sure what the level of proof there is, but
we're actually
regulations say cause or contribute. I'm pretty sure.
We're actually putting together kind of a comment letter, kind of a frame for this, and we're actually going to submit it for technical review. There's actually three generations of scientists now that have been looking at this particular issue. There's Mary Silver, Dr. Mary Silver, there's Dr. Rafe Cadella, and then there's Dr. I forgot her name. And so it's actually three academic generations that have come up with this research, and I think that once we submit that, I'll share it with you.
But ideally, that would cause State Board to update the ocean plan, which would make it very easy for us to update our permits.
That would be good.
Then, Mr. Ruckman. So, did the city look at 10,000 acre feet per year to set any of the alternatives are just infeasible? Is that what they did?
Well, they defined the objective of the study was to determine whether any subsurface intake options were capable of producing 10,000 acre feet. If they weren't able, capable of producing that much water, they were determined to be infeasible, and as such, all of them were.
And I guess they concluded that none of the alternatives could produce 10,000 acre feet because of cost or what?
No, they didn't even get to that. Two out of the six could, but they found other excuses why it could be infeasible, and I can go into that if you'd like. What was your question exactly? Sorry.
Well,
the capacity was the restricting factor.
The what?
The amount of water, 10,000 acre feet, was the restricting factor. So five out of the six were capable of producing, for example, 3125 acre feet, but not 10,000. Two of the six were capable of producing 10,000, and one was dismissed because the technology is unproven, so it's not in operation anywhere in the United States, so they're worried that it might not work.
But one?
And the other, I want to say because my recollection is that the amount of acreage that it would take to build the facility that it takes to produce 10,000 acre feet, there wasn't that much beachfront available. So again, it was because
that's the one with the sand wells,
yes,
that go along the beach.
Yes, exactly.
Has our staff looked at what the city produced? I mean, we asked them to do it, correct?
I haven't seen it personally, but Dr. Von Lang will be looking at it.
And also, just as a reminder, you know, this is public forum, and really the folks who are permittees are not here today, so I think we should limit our discussion. We can certainly take the information, but you know, they're not here to speak for themselves.
So how's this coming back to us? If the staff plans on bringing you back to us?
Sorry. We could do a little status blurb as part of the drought update report. The next board meeting. Yes, just in general, in terms of permitting and the related issues.
Well, will Peter have a chance to review what the city did?
Right, and I was trying to think of what the exact provision said that we put in the permit. I can't remember exactly what I said the board would do at this point, but I care from
it. I know. You said to bring it back by June 30th of 2017, so technically you won't be looking at it till then, but you do have an administrative extension on their permit, and you can certainly reopen their permit at any time since you added that as a condition to the permit when you adopted it last
year. Well, if they've done what you know we asked them to do, and they come up with their conclusions, and it's ready for Peter to review it.
Yeah, and we'll be reviewing.
So I would like to see it, Mr. Chair, come back to us so that we can all weigh in on it and members of the public can comment on it.
So when do you think staff would be ready to give them a presentation and an update, and then we agendize these items so that we give an opportunity to everyone, you know, to participate?
Harvey?
If we're talking about a status report, we can do that in May. If we're talking or a status report or a simple board decision on one aspect of this permit that's already spelled out in the permit, we can do that in May. If we're talking about a revision of the permit itself, that's a much longer time, 6 months, 6 weeks. I don't know when we have a schedule for adoption.
Well, before talking about revision, we should even know what's in there. I think it's premature to talk about revising something if, you know, we even had a chance to look at it.
Why don't you direct staff to just evaluate whether or not it's appropriate, when there's anything meaningful to tell you in May that would help you prepare for a future permit decision, and maybe it's not May, maybe it's September.
We could bring it back as an informational item,
yeah,
as essentially a status update. And then the board could give direction based on that as to whether they would like to revise the permit or issue something else.
Personally, I'm in favor of having staff take a look at whatever the city generated. And we asked them to look at alternatives. They concluded none were appropriate. I'd like to know why. And I'd like the city to be here, so we could ask them some questions.
But my question to staff is, yeah, if they had enough time to do that.
But that's what I'd like them to have enough time to do. I don't need a status report. I'd like to get engaged.
So the staff person's not here, so we can, off the top of our head, we don't know exactly what's on this plate. However, what you're asking for, Chair Young, is a simple compliance assessment for an existing provision for a part of a permit that is probably completed or is in progress.
Correct.
I think we can definitely tell you something about that in May. It might be that we don't have the whole story yet because we don't have all the information yet, or we haven't evaluated all of it yet, but then at least you can track the specific issue that Mr. Evans has raised.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not made in the next board meeting,
it'll be a paragraph.
Staff needs.
It'll just be a paragraph, and if it's appropriate to then do some follow-up that's an informational item, more along the lines of what Jessica mentioned, versus just waiting to bring you permit revisions in the future, then we can have that discussion then.
A paragraph status report. I mean, I'd like to see some discussion of our review of what the city did, its feasibility study.
Yeah, the board would like to have discussion and it should be an informational item versus just a paragraph EEO report.
Yes.
Also, so that everyone has notice of it and the board's able to actually go into a thorough discussion.
I think that's more appropriate. I think that's what would be more informative for everybody. That I don't know if we can do in May.
Okay.
Section manager Harvey Packard says we can.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
It's a nice, good answer.
Thank you.
All right. So we'll make it happen. So thank you very much. For.
And then, Harvey, please ask the city if they can send someone to attend so we can get all of our questions answered. I'm sure Kira is ready right now to have, you know, the informational item.
Just in thinking about stakeholders' convenience, that means in Watsonville.
Right. I was just going
to mention. Okay. Well,
is there any permission to take remote testimony at all?
Pardon me?
Is there any permission to take remote testimony? I mean, if some of the city representatives
are able to. I don't think it's appropriate to discuss some, you know, we went through efforts of discussing the permit for Santa Barbara when we were in Santa Barbara. And I don't think it's only the city that should be here. I am sure a lot of the residents in this community would want to participate. So I think it needs to be at a more convenient location.
Okay.
It's a matter of fairness to all parties.
I agree, I guess it was just a question of procedure.
We have at the next San Luis meeting, which I think is July. And if there's something we can tell you in May, just informationally, in the executive officer's report, so that you're prepared to do something in July, we'll provide that as well.
Or the board comes back here in December.
Sounds like 3 months.
We're here in September.
So, sorry.
Come back. I'm just trying to be, you know, all-inclusive, and so, you know, this is a topic that is of, I'm sure, interest of.
San Luis Obispo is fine with me, I don't have a problem with that. It's sooner than later.
Okay.
It's not that far.
Yeah, an hour and a half drive is easier than, you know, 3.5 hour drive. Are we cool with that?
Yeah, it's fine, I just wanted to be responsive and understand what the provisions were for us to take or not take remote testimony, that's all.
I think that we